Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. On this weekend show, we're going to be jumping around a fair bit. We're going to start off by recapping some of the market moves this week, as well as some of the underlying economic data that we received more internationally. And then we'll move into a bit more of a trader's session with one of our favorite technical traders and fund managers. And then for all the precious metals bugs out there, tail end of the show, going to be focused a bit more on the big picture narrative for the precious metals. We are kicking off the show with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. Now, Mark, let's start off with a quick recap, more in terms of central banks, where we had the Bank of England hike by 50 basis points. That is largely being considered a bit of a surprise. They went a bit more than the market expected. We also had a bunch of Fed officials talking about the fact that there probably are still two more rate hikes coming this year. Let's start off with central bank news then in terms of the Bank of England. Any takeaways from their hike, please, Mark?
Sure. So you're right. The Bank of England hiked rates. They had 50 basis points, took people a little bit by surprise. Now there's four meetings left in the year, and the market has another 100 basis points priced in. So this was sort of a down payment, like you say. Higher than expected inflation, strong labor market. Bank of England tried to get ahead of some expectations. Unfortunately, it wasn't proved very effective as sterling initially rallied on it, but then sold off and closed lower yesterday on Thursday after the Bank of England hike, and it's lower here today. And of course, it wasn't the only central bank that hiked rates by 50 basis points last week. So did Norway, and Switzerland hiked rates by 25 basis points. So now for the month of June, the major central banks' rate decisions are over, and now we're going to shift back and focus on economic data, whether survey data or next week the inflation data.
Well, Mark, when you look at what's happening in the currency markets and even with other central banks, some of the strength in the dollar and some of those moves in the other currencies could also be explained by some of the general weak international data we've been seeing out of Europe, out of Australia, out of a lot of countries, that they're still having, as you mentioned earlier, issues with inflation. We have other readings coming out. What do you make of some of the weakness globally?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we've seen the manufacturing sector continuing to suffer. Not just we see that in the U.S., but we see this, like you mentioned, in most of the other countries, those flash June PMI readings. All the countries that reported the flash PMI, so Japan, Australia, Germany, France, the U.K., and the U.S., all had the manufacturing sector PMI below 50, which is this boom-bust level, separating like expansion from contraction. So I think this is partly a global phenomenon, and I think that we're still like coming to grips with the post-COVID economy and responding to that, where in the early days, COVID and its aftermath, big demand for goods, and that has slowed down, and I think that's the real drag, but the strength is still coming from what strength we do have, is coming from the service sector. And that's important because the service sector is really the bulk of the high income economy, is driven much more by services than the goods sector. But I think you're right that the fear in the market, I think, is that the weakness of the economy is going to stymie or limit the central bank's ability to raise interest rates. And if the real economy doesn't stymie the central banks, then spurring a financial crisis, like a larger bank stress issue like we had in the U.S. We've got those bank share stocks again selling off this week pretty sharply.
Yeah, well, a bunch of interesting data that came out this week. But one thing that really caught my attention is what happened in the crypto space with Bitcoin and some of the larger institutions, well-respected institutions that are at least filing some of the paperwork to start up ETFs, even a new exchange that could, and that's a big could, bring in some bigger institutional money. Again, all this is just paperwork being filed, but Mark, how big of a story is this for the cryptocurrency sector?
Yeah, and I think you're right that, you know, since the middle of April, so for the last 2 months, until this past week or so, Bitcoin has been trending lower. And I see a lot of my friends in the media, reporters, journalists, being sort of squeezed out of jobs at some of those places that used to cover crypto. And I think that crypto is sort of falling out of favor, even among the crypto crowd. But I think that two things have happened. One is, as you say, some of these new applications to the SEC to have a crypto ETF, a Bitcoin ETF, I should say. Previously, the SEC turned it down, but maybe the market's matured enough that they could give permission this time. I'm a bit skeptical, but we'll have to see. But so that's one thing, is possibility of ETF for Bitcoin, and that, of course, rekindles interest. And the other thing is more of a technical development. As I mentioned, the Bitcoin's been trending lower since around the middle of April, and this week we broke out of that downtrend. And you know the market, even though it's easy to go short in the capital markets as it is to go long, unlike equity markets. But we all like bull markets better than bear markets. And the fact that that Bitcoin broke out of this downtrend, this 2 month downtrend this week, and exploded really to new highs. $31,410 this morning. I think that just brings people in on, we talk about fear of missing out when it comes to, say, the mainstream stock market or something like that. But I think there's also there in the crypto space, just as people are giving up on it, it rallies and brings us back into it.
Mark, just a follow-up on that comment. You brought up that, you know, sometimes when things break down in correlations, like we were seeing Bitcoin and Ethereum and some of the other cryptos really trading like tech stocks for the longest time, and that correlation has kind of started to break down. And when it's hard to value an asset class, you say that you turn to technical analysis. How do you utilize both the fundamental side when you're looking at an asset class and the technical to decide, is this a fundamental news event or is it truly just a technical breakout? And using cryptos as an example here.
Yeah, no, you raise a good point. So I think we all have our own ways of, you know, of trying to deal with that kind of issue of trying to match the fundamentals and technical. You know, I'm old enough to remember when fundamentalists and technicians were always at odds with each other. And now I think the more sophisticated people I know try to incorporate both of them. Fundamentals might help us identify the underlying trend and macroeconomic forces. But I find technical analysis helpful in helping to tell me when I'm going to be wrong. And this is, I think, the difference between successful traders and less successful traders, is really managing the risks, managing the downside, where to put a stop, how to evaluate, like, what's the risk reward, where's your stop relative, what's your profit objective. And I don't think the macros help us very much in determining those kinds of things. So when I'm looking at the Bitcoin, for example, not only have we taken out that 2 month downtrend, but it looks like we bottomed around the time the dollar did last year, October, November kind of period. And so I think that we're correcting higher. And, you know, my example would be using Fibonacci numbers. You take a cat and you throw it off the top of a skyscraper, and it gets down to the pavement and it bounces. How high does it bounce before you think the cat's alive? And the first retracement, the first level that it bounces to in Fibonacci numbers is 38.2%. That would bring Bitcoin up to about $36,000. And I think that seems to be a reasonable objective, given the turn that we've had.
All right, Mark, we're going to wrap it up here. We need to jump on another call, but always great chatting with you. Thanks for quickly recapping kind of what we saw this week in terms of the data, some of the news, and also how you balance out what you use to look at markets. And, well, technicals are one thing, but yes, also looking at underlying economics and fundamentals, whole other ballgame. Mark, thank you as always for your time. We'll chat next week. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend, and good luck to everybody.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right. right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. This segment possibly bleeding into the next segment. A bit more for the technical trader, those watching some of these markets, a wide range of markets that we are going to discuss here as we are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lion Share website, which I will link to within that weekend show posting. Now, Dana, just a broad comment about this week. We saw a little bit of weakness in U.S. markets. Most broad averages are down in and around 1%. And throughout this week, we did see these markets generally open up lower. Some days there was some buying that came in intraday. But overall, after quite the run that these markets have had on a daily or even weekly chart, we're finally putting in a negative candlestick. The last time we had a negative candlestick for the NASDAQ was back in mid-April. So it has been quite a run. Easy to say that, well, a pullback is needed here. What's your thought on potentially, at least for the short term, a bit of a change in direction for these markets?
Yeah, and I don't think it's an unhealthy one. As you mentioned, we've been shooting higher pretty much every day or every week for the last couple months, especially after some of the high tech and large cap areas broke out about a month ago. So we had that a strong bounce or a strong continuation of that breakout for about a month. And I think it's a healthy and much needed kind of pullback or respite from that rally. So whereas we really, especially in the modern day, we really loathe chasing prices either up or down, especially after breakout, breakdown. We'd much rather buy a pullback after it broken out, especially when it approaches the breakout point. So our models right now are bullish. Mentioned to you before the show, they're not exactly screaming higher as far as some of our internal and breath related models, but they are positive, so they give us enough cover to be a little bit more aggressively long than we had been for much of the year. But in those relative strength sectors like tech and large caps and those types of things, if you didn't chase those prices into the top earlier this month, you're getting probably a better opportunity to at least add some exposure to those areas, which on an intermediate term basis are still signifying the relative strength in the market for now.
Yeah, Dana, utilizing these pullbacks to be able to buy a little on the weakness and buy the dips. It seems like overall in the markets, there's a lot more optimism, a lot more speculation, more funds coming in off the sidelines to buy those dips. And some people have noted that as a cause for concern. If retail starts piling in kind of towards the end of the move, could that signal the end of the move? But on the other side of the fence, we've had a lot of generalists on the show, Dana, that have mentioned improving market breadth, that a lot of the sectors that were beat up or not participating have at least stopped going down and started moving higher, some of them pretty aggressively. And they're looking at this as a brand new leg to a bull market, not just a nice pop within a bear market. We've talked on the show with you for quite some time about it, potentially still having another leg lower in a larger bear market pattern. Has this recent strength changed your view at all that maybe we are in a new bull market here?
It hasn't changed our longer-term thinking. You know, we're still of the mind that we're in a longer-term bear market in the broad market. You know, if you're discussing, you know, the large-cap averages, those narrow averages, and some of the tech stuff that has bounced back sharply and is back approaching those former highs, if you want to call that a new bull market, that's fine, because I would not be surprised to see higher highs. So, but that's, you know, it's a selective bull market based on an individual index or sector, and I don't have any problem buying those or being long those sectors as long as they are, you know, hitting higher highs, higher lows. But from a broad market perspective, we haven't nearly seen enough improvement to change our assessment of that longer term bear market. In fact, looking at, for example, the Value Line Geometric Composite, which tracks the median stock in the market, it's basically unchanged on the year. So the median stock is unchanged for the year. Median stock is unchanged over the last 12 months and barely off the lows that we saw last fall. So we've seen enough improvement in the broader market to shift our intermediate term model bullish. So that's why we are, you know, trading from a long bias right now in that, from that perspective. But everything comes down to duration, you know, and an intermediate term basis, which for us is about 2 to 6 months, we are bullish, yes, but that doesn't necessarily change the longer term outlook for equities, which in our view is still somewhat dire, despite, you know, those intermediate term intermittent rallies along the way.
All right, then, Dana, if you are, I guess, a little bit more bullish on the intermediate term, but there's still that kind of murky outlook longer term, what about some of the safe haven assets? Because it was pretty tough week for gold and silver. Gold was down about 2.5%, silver down 7%. Those stocks followed. Then you balance that out with the U.S. dollar. That was up a little bit. Yields have been relatively range-bound and flat here. How do you look broadly at some of the safe havens in terms of that whole bull-bear market balance?
Yeah, sure. So specifically talking about the precious metals complex, as you know, we're pretty bullish on the longer term for the complex, especially gold specifically, but also silver. The miners as well should go along for the ride, even if they don't break out and put in a new, you know, more durable up leg like we think gold is due for. But the miners should, if gold breaks out and puts in that new up leg, the miners should go along for the ride as well. But right now, I think we're certainly, and we've talked about this recently, we're in a, you know, kind of a counter trend period right now with gold, silver pulling back, the miners especially pulling back. So we have been hedged in that area, specifically in the gold miners over the last month or so, looking for this counter trend pullback like we're getting right now, but getting close to a point where we'd be covering our hedges there and shifting back more aggressively long, I think specifically in the GDX and the gold miners. As far as gold is concerned, I think there is a little bit more downside before we would start adding to our long position. Silver might be there already, but overall our longer-term bullish thesis is intact. This is just one of those counter trend moves along the way that we've been fortunate enough to hedge ourselves against, but I think we're getting close to the point where you can remove those hedges and start to look for some sort of a bottoming action in that sector.
All right, Dana, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you, as always, for taking time with us on this weekend show and sharing how you're trading these markets. I do appreciate how nimble you are in all these markets and simply trying to block out all this noise that we undoubtedly get through the media and just looking at the charts, the price action, and some of the other data that your models pull in. So, Dana, thanks again for your time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll chat again in another couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we're going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Update. update. Brand new information this Saturday morning about the Titan sub, which exploded, killing all five men on board, as details emerging now about what the Navy knew.
The U.S. Navy suspects a top-secret military acoustic detection system picked up when the Titan submersible imploded. The Navy began listening for the Titan almost as soon as the submersible lost communications with the mothership. I'm Brian Shook.
Lots of folks weighing in on social media about the upcoming fight between Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook and Elon Musk of Twitter. Correspondent Ryan Daniels with a preview of all the action.
UFC President Dana White said on TMZ the CEOs talked with him about what he says would be the biggest fight in history. Musk reportedly responded to news that Zuckerberg planned to start his own version of Twitter by saying he's up for a cage match if he is.
I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We are wrapping up the weekend edition of the KE Report here with more of a bigger picture outlook on the gold sector, investors' interest or lack of interest in the gold sector, and more a global understanding of, I guess, what's going on around the world. So we are chatting with Cam Curry, Senior Investment Advisor at Canaccord Genuity, also head of Curry Metals and Mining Group. Now, Cam, look, you've been touring around talking about what's going on around the world and the shift that we've seen, I guess, a bit away from the U.S. dollar, central banks, how they continue to buy gold, build up that exposure, but then also the disconnect that we're seeing between the gold stocks, the underlying gold equities, and gold, which is right around all-time highs. Gold is kind of plateaued here right around this, let's say, mid-1900s up to the 2000 level. There has been some interest in gold, and you can say gold has outperformed a number of other markets depending on the time frame that you look at. But the fact of the matter is, no one seems to care about the gold market, let alone the gold stocks, which those just continue to sell off in the face of gold hanging around these all-time highs. Cam, what are you trying to get across to some of the institutions, some of the larger net worth investors that you talk to, trying to, I guess, show them that there is opportunity in gold and the rest of the world is, I guess, looking at that opportunity more so?
Well, start off by saying that the Western world is not really paying attention to what's actually happening in the precious metals market because, again, muscle memory still dictates that they're still chasing the sectors that are down 80% from 2 years ago because they're bouncing right now. So the thing that is so glaringly obvious to me is that the Eastern Central Banks are telling the real story. You know, we have record central bank demand for gold, and it's getting unrecognized in the Western world. Gold traded all-time highs here a month ago, and yet what other asset class on the planet is doing that? And yet it gets no fanfare. So the story really is the shift or de-dollarization of the U.S. dollars. Now, I'm not saying the U.S. dollar is going to lose its reserve currency status, but it is being diversified out of. And the question is why are these central banks leaving U.S. dollars and buying gold reserves? Well, because they're seeing the greater fiscal risk in the U.S. dollar. We just went through a debt ceiling increase, and we went through Silicon Valley and First Republic banking issues and that, and all that stuff has been put in the closet again, and no one's even talking about it. And so we're in a situation right now where the rest of the world is really telling the story. The central bankers over there are telling the story. The Swiss pension fund, for example, and that's one of the three largest gold vaults on the planet in Switzerland, the Swiss pension fund has been buying gold. Singapore, which is the second largest vault on the planet, they have been, their central banks increased gold reserves by 60%. So they're giving you intel about what the global shift is. And yet, inside of North America, the investors are not paying attention to it. Case in point, gold ETF holdings and gold equity ETF holdings are down 80% compared to the last time gold was at 2000, which is 2012. So again, there's no narrative towards the space. And, you know, that's one of the things that's so, so important in today's world is narrative economics drives money flows. The money flows go into the ETFs, and that's what drives performance. So the equity investors in gold stocks right now are extremely frustrated going, everything in the world for gold to go higher is there. Gold just traded all-time highs. And how come these stocks are underperforming? Because no one's paying attention in the Western world. And that's the opportunity, and that's the message I'm trying to get out to investors. That's why I was in Baltimore speaking to a media group a week and a half ago, and that's why I'm doing interviews like these, because the risk-reward of our sector is so low risk, so high reward, but nobody's paying attention.
Well, came to that point of nobody paying attention and the narrative economics, it just seems like so many investors in the mainstream media aren't just maybe disinterested in the gold space. They're just not even paying attention at all. That some don't even realize that gold is up near record high territory. Some don't realize how well it performed in 2022 compared to almost all other asset classes, silver included. So what do you think the narrative from the space for people in the industry, for people that are following the sector, is there something in the narrative that people need to be flagging at, besides just the central banks buying in the East and the de-dollarization themes? Are there other themes that the gold industry is maybe not doing a great job of promoting, and maybe there's a better story here than generalist investors realize?
That's an interesting one, because the perception of gold as an asset class in North America is it's a bunker holding. If you're looking for negative news or risks, economic risks, you should have gold as a protective asset. And yet in India, it's a prized possession of ownership because they don't have a trust in their banking system, partly too. And so, I don't know, I look at gold, and I think the narrative could shift here in North America, because if you look at it, you've got the Oscars are gold, the gold medals, the gold standard. It's as good as gold. You know, there could be a narrative shift, but again, this is a psychological thing of gold as a possession of pride and ownership, because it is an asset class. You know, most people in North America don't know this, but there's the three largest reserve currencies in the world are the U.S. dollar, the euro, and gold. And gold's the only one that has no political attachment, no debt obligation, and no printing press. So it has an independent, non-liable position. And people claim with Bitcoin that that's the same situation, but Bitcoin clearly has shown that it's not an inflation hedge. And Bitcoin's down 50% from its all-time high, and yet we're trading all-time highs. So the reserve currency of the world, which has stood the time for 5,000 years, is performing, but nobody's paying attention. So the narrative is going to come because, you know, again, back in 2002, we were buying the gold stocks and gold was at 350 an ounce and nobody was paying attention. This is 2 years after the dot-com top. And it was when the dollar started really breaking down in 2003, that's when gold took off. And I suspect the U.S. dollar, as this de-dollarization continues and the deficit problems in the United States keeps on escalating, the foreigners are going to continue to look at the U.S. dollar as a greater risk because of the liability risk of the U.S. dollar. And gold's role as a hedge against that will become a new narrative. And when that narrative gets traction, that's when I think we're going to be rewarded in the equities. And I think the next 12 months, we're going to start seeing that. Again, I don't like to put time frames on things, but everything in the world right now to point for gold as an asset class of ownership is there, but nobody's paying attention.
All right. Nobody is paying attention. And quite frankly, we see more people leaving the sector than coming in. That also times with some of the majors that are gold focused, that are almost pure play gold plays. They're looking to other metals, whether it's for more government support in some of the critical metals or in copper, that whole supply demand imbalance that we keep hearing about heading out even just now in the near term. How much does that also play into this narrative for the stocks and other investors saying, if the majors aren't even looking to buy gold projects, who's out there to buy them if I want to make money on my, let's say, mid-tier or smaller company?
Well, yeah, because as of recent, we saw the rumors that Barrick is looking at First Quantum, right? And Barrick's made it very clear they've been looking for copper as an asset addition. You're right. And that's one of the problems in the industry is the stewardship of the senior companies. Therefore, the message to the generalist funds going, okay, well, here's Barrick. They're looking at buying the copper. Well, why should I be buying Barrick for its gold exposure? Because they're telling us they want to go into copper. And, I remember a year and a half ago when gold was at 2000 and Palmer from Newmont was on CNBC being interviewed and gold was at 2000. This is when COVID hit. And he made the comment that at 1350 gold, we're still economic because that's where they carry the reserve base at. So a generalist fund who's listening to that interview is going, okay, gold's at 2000 and here's the number one S&P 500 listed only gold company in America. And the president's talking about gold 1350. Like I said to one of my other executive clients, I said, that's equivalent to Michael Saylor from MacroStrategies when Bitcoin was at $60,000 saying, well, if Bitcoin goes down to $30,000, we're still making money. You never hear it. So this goes back to the narrative. If the leaders and the stewards of the industry are talking like that, it's hard to get a narrative that's positive.
That's a good point there, Cam, and I don't think you're going to get anyone disagreeing with you that the narrative is just not in gold's favor. Doesn't help when we do have executives and other people in the sector not promoting it either, but unfortunately that's the market we're in. We're having you back on next segment. We're going to keep talking gold in this big picture theme that you have been sharing with your clients. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
All right, we are back and wrapping up the show, continuing to chat with Cam Curry. Now a little bit more focus coming on to the stocks and all the different valuations we're getting here. Shad, take it away with your question.
Let's dive into a little bit more about how these companies are valued. When you think back to 2011, when gold first peaked up to 1920s, you know, that area before it peaked out, where the companies were valued then is night and day compared to where they're valued now. When you look at the run we had in 2016, that 8-month run from January to August to really kick off the bull market when things bottomed near $1,000, $1,045, and then started bouncing up in 2016, some of the valuations we saw in the mid-tiers, in the development companies, were way higher than they are now, and that was when gold only got up into the 1370s compared to where gold has been for the last 3 years, waffling between 2000 and, let's say, 1650 in that range. It seems like the valuations are just a fraction of where they used to be, and the scapegoat has been pointed to as inflation. Well, look at the margins. Look how much their margins have been crimped. Okay, well, I can see that, but they're still making money at 2000 gold. Silver companies are still making money with silver in the mid-20s, and so it doesn't explain away the big gap in valuation between where the miners are and where the metals are. How do you explain it when you're talking to customers and when you're talking to clients?
Well, Chad, you know, we talked about this before this interview, and it's a very valid point. You know, and we talked to our Australian counterparts because, you know, Canaccord is a global franchise, and they don't have the distraction of the United States beside them. So they have a concentrated investor in the metals and mining space. You know, they're invested in the copper, the lithiums, the gold companies, because they don't have the distraction of America. In Canada, finding an investor advisor like myself is very rare, who's focused in the metals and mining space, because so many other people chase cannabis, crypto, cloud-based, you know, all the other sectors. They went across the border, and that's been one of the major components, is that money has gone elsewhere, and the money hasn't come back and recognized the opportunity here. And so that's one of the major components. I also think last year was a very disappointing year for gold investors, because everything gold-friendly happened. Yeah, gold went down. And it went down because the U.S. raised rates, the biggest percentage change in rates in history in America. And so the dollar rallied off of that. So we had an exponential move in U.S. dollar, which drove gold down. But if you're in Turkey, for example, and you had gold as one of your asset holdings, gold went to all-time highs. It protected you. We were just looking at it from a U.S. dollar perspective. And so I think a lot of investors, we saw rising costs, supply chain issues, margin squeezes on the producers. On top of that, gold price went down by, you know, $300 an ounce. there is some damage done to the equities and therefore to the sentiment of why should I be in the sector in the first place, because everything gold friendly happened, but we got hammered and it was purely a dollar move. So now we have a dollar that's starting to show signs. Like I'm absolutely convinced the dollar right now is equivalent to where it was in late 2002, early 2003, when all of a sudden the Dixie started breaking down through 101 or whatever the price was, and it went to 74. And that ushered in the big move in gold and the move into gold equities. And I think that's one of those things that the Eastern Central Banks are seeing as the risk of the U.S. dollar, and that's why they're moving out of the dollar, and that's why they're moving into gold. And so that trend's underway. I mean, central banks in the East, their last year, threefold increase in gold purchases by central banks. And yet, you mentioned that to an American investor, nobody knows that. So I think we're in that situation right now is we see the trend, everything's happening, but because of all the distractions in the other equity markets and not people not recognizing what the shift is taking place outside of America, you know, that's leaving this market with an absence of investors, but it's only a matter of time. Only a matter of time.
So in all fairness, Cam, it's not like this shift outside of the U.S. is a new thing. I've been hearing about this shift for the last couple decades, and it doesn't seem to gain any traction. If anything, sometimes that narrative kind of runs old with investors because they've heard that this shift by other countries and the de-dollarization movement, it should have pushed gold to 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 years ago, decades ago. Is this more a generational issue where, look, as much as I hate to say it, but gold's an old man's game. And quite frankly, yes, some people are getting older, but young people, people new to the markets, people even in their high income earning stages, they're looking for more torque. They're looking for new, exciting areas that provide more blue sky than gold breaking out to 2200.
Yeah, and you know what? You can I can understand that, you know, that perspective and that trend that's been going on. Because if you look at going back to the use of U.S. dollars, it's substantially dropped in the last 20 years in terms of transactions globally. But what, you know, going back to the Ukraine war, I mean, the weaponization of U.S. dollars is a major shift as well. And so I think the last couple of years, the concentration of the reasons why gold is doing what it's doing is becoming much more prevalent. I also think that's you can't really compare it over the last 20 years, because really what you have now is a very brazen move by China in the last 3 years as the autocracies challenge the democracies. You know, again, 3 years ago, China went into Iran, and in exchange for cheaper oil, they did foreign investment and military investment. And most people don't know that, right? Look what happened in Afghanistan. 2 days after America pulled out, who was in there? China moved in. So China's making very brazen moves, and that's been only happening in the last 2 or 3 years. You know, they're backing, in essence, the Russian invasion on Ukraine, because it serves their best interests with their intent of going into Taiwan. So you have a different world now in the last 3 years opposed to the last 10, 15 years with this movement of U.S. dollars, because now you have these autocracies that are challenging the supremacy of the U.S. dollar reserve. And that trend's not going away. You know, the next BRICS meeting is in August. There's no question we're seeing greater alignment amongst these autocracies. And you look what's happening in Africa. I mean, the Chinese have been buying up all these assets. They're globalizing in a different way. And so I just see this trend continuing. And I think that, you know, China views the U.S. as trying to suppress their rise as a superpower. And they're going to keep on pushing. And it's in their best interest to show the weaknesses of democracy and the weaknesses of the capitalist system to enhance their global stage. And that's not going away. And so that's why all these central banks are buying gold. That's why, you know, China's buying gold, Russia's buying gold, Middle East, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, they're all buying gold. So all that's happening. So, you know, it's not going to change. And it's getting greater now, unfortunately.
Well, Cam, just one more question as far as the general equities in relation to the precious metals markets. We've had some people on the show that have postulated that for there to really be a secular bull market in gold, we'd have to see a disconnect or a divergence from the general markets and the precious metals. Are you in that camp where you think we need to see a divergence from the precious metals over the general equity markets?
Well, I'm absolutely at that camp. I'm a big student in economics and politics, and I follow a lot of people. And one of the people I follow very closely is Stanley Druckenmiller. I think one of the best investors of all time. And he still has holding pat on the fact that he sees the U.S. being hard landing environment. He also, I don't know if you recall, but back in 1992 when he worked for George Soros, they went short the British pound, and that was their high conviction trade. And quite honestly, they pissed off the British Parliament on that, but they were right, and it led to a significant downturn in the British pound. One of his highest conviction trades right now is short U.S. dollar. And one of the ways he's doing that is buying gold. And, again, when you have interest rates at zero for 10 years, you have a complacent investor and consumer. And it inflated asset prices. And so you have these asset price appreciation with free money for 10 years. During that same time frame, you have global debt went from $200 to $300 trillion. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, fast forward to where we are right now, the cost of that debt has changed dramatically. The 10-year German Bundes was a negative 0.5% yield. Now it's 2.5%. So now you have the burden of this debt, which went from $200 to $300 trillion, now sitting on global growth. And so it takes time for interest rates to work through the system. And Tony Dwyer was one of our chief strategists. He was pointing out historically it's 14 months, 15 months before higher interest rates lead to economic downturns. And now we're 14 months in. And, there's no question in my mind that society got used to free money and lived way beyond its means. So we're over-leveraged. And now the burden of the debt costs is starting to significantly impact the consumption function on top of the inflationary pressures. And so it's just a matter of time until we see that weakness. And when that happens, I think that's when the value of gold opposed to U.S. dollars will get more narrative.
Cam, I really appreciate you taking time on this weekend show. We'll have you back on the show again. But everybody, this wraps up our weekend show. I hope you all enjoyed it. I thank you all for tuning in. Chad and I will be back throughout the week covering the markets and with a number of company interviews. Please be sure to go back through our website and podcast, listen to all the other daily editorials and company updates we recorded throughout the week. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.